Welcome back to Borat Club, episode 51 of 52. Oh. And Ryan, we have just finished our third of fourth watches of the dreadful movie, Borat 2.
This may have well have been our 30th of 40 watches at this point. I am, like, this... I will say I was more tolerable of this viewing than I was last week. Last week really felt bad to me, like just really hellish, I think. Mm. And I think for a variety of reasons, this one went by a little bit more smoothly, but we can get into that in a minute.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you say it feels like your 30th viewing, and I very much agree with you, but I'm interested, Rose, who's joining us back on the show, how did that go for you? Because you have, like, you were telling us you had, like, avoided all kinds of anything to do with Borat 2, so...
yeah, you just want me to get into it? You just want me to say?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
I think I said this multiple times while we were watching it, but I think that's worse than the first movie by far.
Yeah. I think that's the general Borat Club consensus.
Yeah, I feel like it is.
Yeah, like you were saying, like you felt like it had aged a decade in the week since it's come out or whatever, the 2 weeks since it came out.
Yeah.
And I haven't even seen it when it came out or whatever, but I felt that. It already feels like ancient. I guess that's part of the problem when, like, every day is a year these days. But, like, wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
like, especially now, right? Now that we're recording this on Friday night, it looks like Joe Biden is going to win the election, but it's not, like, called yet or whatever. But still, like, this is now a post-election world that we're watching this movie in, and it might as well be about Bush versus Gore. Like, it's just... Like, I don't know. I feel like I have aged 30 years in the last 2 weeks.
No, for sure. And Borat's not helping, because, wow. No. Like,
I think that, like, don't get me wrong here. I take no joy in Joe Biden as president, right? Like, you know, he's not great is the thing, but I feel like if we had been watching this and Donald Trump had just run away with the election, I would be suicidal right now, like, genuinely. Like, watching this movie would make me want to put my hand in like a blender. But I think one of the reasons it's been more tolerable for me is that that's not hanging over my head. I mean, it still is, because he's going to have to be dragged out of the White House kicking and screaming, essentially. Like, there's no way. But just having November 3rd in the rearview mirror and just letting them do their thing, it makes this movie a little bit more tolerable for me. Right. But it's still... This is a film laser targeted for like 1 week, and it is well past its expiration date. Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine watching this film if Trump had won. Like, anyone, like, could you imagine, like, you were like, oh, I'm going to watch the new Borat, but I don't have time. And then after an election where he won happens, and they're just like, yeah, let me watch the, like, what?
It feels like, I mean, obviously this was SBC taking a swing at trying to influence the election or whatever, which I don't think Borat had any real tangible effect on the results. But, like, yeah, the idea that there was genuinely, like, a 50-50 chance that within 2 weeks this movie was gonna, like, feel like it came from, like, another universe is just... I mean, oh my god.
That's a great way to put it. Another universe, like, wow.
It already feels like that, right? Because it's so, like, entrenched in, like, the world through the eyes of, like, neoliberal milquetoast, like, centrist Democrats. But, like, Jesus Christ, like, if Trump had won, this movie would be I don't even know if you could keep it up. Like,
yeah, you think they'd take it down, like, probably. Yeah.
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 Like, it would just feel like such a weird... Like, it would feel the same way it feels when you see, like, videos of Hillary Clinton, like, dabbing from 4 years ago or whatever the fuck. Like, it's
oh, just... her tweet where she says, like, this woman's going to be president tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Big we popping biggest bottles in your tea on that one.
Yeah, it definitely has that vibe to it. And I think you both brought this up during the watch. Like, there are parts of this movie, and specifically the like, part where he's at the rally and he's, like, talking about chopping up journalists like the Saudis do in a week where Steve Bannon is literally out there, like, fucking saying that we should behead journalists or
like, no, today.
Fauci.
Either today or yesterday he said that we should behead Fauci, and then his lawyer resigned. So
lawyer resigned.
So it's in a weird place, right? I would maybe be interested in revisiting this movie in, like, a year, because I think by then it'll feel like it's a decade old, right? Like, really just a relic. And I do think that, I don't know, it's just there's this mental shift that's happened where, like you said, Niall, this may as well have been about the Bush election, right? Like, it feels, despite being 3 weeks old, it feels like a relic from another planet. And, I'm still laughing at it, I'll be honest. I'm still having pretty much the same moments that I had last week that are making me chuckle, like, you know, when he says chillin' in the Borat voice.
Yeah, that got me. That got me.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. If we had to watch this 52 times, I don't think I could do it. Like,
there's
don't.
There's no way. But... No. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the chillin' line, and that really is, I think, maybe the only time you laughed, Rose, that and, like, the part where he just goes, like, wah wah wee wah, and drops the glass at the end. Like,
two parts, like, they got me, I will admit. But even the chillin' bit, I feel like then he sends the dick, and it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Here comes the Borat jokes. Like, there could have been a better way to keep that bit going without...
Oh, like, no, they keep it going. Keep it going.
They keep it going, but I feel like there was a better way. There was, like, a more funny way that not much you or something like that. I don't know, you know?
Well, he knows he can't say homophobic slurs or do, you know, epic funny gay sex jokes, so he has to squeeze it in where he can.
If there's one thing I'll say about this movie to some extent is that I think more than the first movie, and this is a positive thing I'm saying, the only positive thing I say, I guess, and it's not even that positive. They definitely have, it is clearer that it is satire, I think, than the first film, but only in the sense that it is so bland and easy stuff to say, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, I think about, like, how Borat was out on Jimmy Kimmel or whatever it was saying, vote for Trump or whatever. And I don't think there's anything in this movie that would, like, anyone would fall for that, I don't think, necessarily. Right. Like, I think it's pretty straightforward in its points, I guess.
Yeah, but I think, like, to me, the way this movie reads is... He looked at the reaction to Borat 1 and went, oh Christ, a lot of people took the exact wrong message, like the exact opposite of what I was trying to say, and thought Borat was cool and a guy to like worship and like emulate. And
yeah,
I need to spell out to people like that, no, you're not supposed to agree with Borat's like prejudices and his racism and his homophobia and his anti-Semitism. You're supposed to not like him. The joke is supposed to be on him. But then, like, because he has Borat, like, by the end of the movie, become a feminist and be a little less anti-Semitic or whatever, like, you know, like, it almost sort of ruins the thing of making Borat even the butt of the joke as well. So now it's just like, okay, the butt of the joke here is the United States, but he doesn't do anything really even then to like really highlight that in like a way that's effective yeah. or funny. It's just like, hey, Rudy Giuliani's a creep.
Like Rudy Giuliani is a creep, though. Let's be clear. The man is a living piece of slime, like a fungus mold that grew grew a brain.
He's unbelievably gross.
He is. Seeing him, like, I really, like, I have seen him before, but, like, seeing him, you know, seeing video of him, I don't think I've seen video of him ever, maybe. And, God, it's like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
He really is. And him just, like, dabbing at his face with the handkerchief and just like the weird like facial thing he's doing where he's like squinting and opening his mouth, and like it's just everything about him is just like, it just makes your skin crawl.
Yeah, it's evil.
He's so slimy.
It's just evil.
Like, you know, at least you could maybe kind of say like Mike Pence kind of looks like a human being or whatever, but you look at Rudy and you're just like, like he just, I said this, like, I feel like the last 2 weeks, but that whole sequence really does feel like a scene from like To Catch a Predator. Like it's so just, it just makes my skin crawl when I see
it's a lot. Yeah. Was it, who among us, not I, one of y'all said during the scene where he runs in dressed as Trump to like confront Mike Pence, someone said that if this movie was filmed like 2 months later, there would have been like a fly joke in it or whatever.
Oh yeah, I was saying that. I'd say they'd say Borat put the fly there or something.
Yeah, that's for in case anyone at home is not familiar with the film at this point, that is very much the level of comedy this thing works at, right? Like,
yeah,
right. That's sort of the bar,
the Twitter gotchas. That is like, yeah. I guess that's the audience, right? It's they're not going for people who actually know politics actually or anything. They're going for people who are aware of them vaguely and know, and like know Trump bad.
It's the people who are really into seeing Jim Carrey do Joe Biden on SNL. Like that's the,
that is a great way to put
it. Yeah. I am. I don't know, y'all. I really don't have a lot to say about this movie this week, right? Like we can go through Rose and kind of talk about, you know, specifics, I guess, but it just didn't really do much of anything. I think this movie, the kindest thing I can say about this movie is that it kind of approached the cringe horizon for me this week. And let me explain what that means. It's where movie has aged so rapidly, right? It's aged like the dude at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where he drinks the bad cup and turns into dust. Like that's Borat 2. But in aging so quickly, the film has almost looped around to being, I wouldn't say so bad it's good, but like almost funny in just how immediately out of touch it is, right? Like Borat posted cringe with such immediacy that he's crossed the cringe horizon into being, it's almost sort of charming, right? To a point where it's hard to explain, right? Because we're only 3 weeks out, but I feel like this movie came out like 5 years ago. Like I really do feel like that's where we're at with this. And so for me, it's almost looping around to the point where I look at this and I say, oh, you know, isn't this funny? Like, ha ha ha, you stupid man sort of thing. But I think my thoughts are just kind of all over the place tonight, so I can't really be trusted to make good commentary on this movie. I just have so many thoughts on this, and none of them are worthwhile at all, right? Like, the movie just doesn't deserve to be, like, that's the problem, right? We look at Borat 1, we do Borat 1 for 48 weeks on this podcast, right? And I think, ostensibly, there is both comedic ground there, and there is a sense that we are talking about the film in kind of a broader cultural context, and how it's aged, and, you know, how it sort of holds up, right? But this movie, there's just, there's just no substance to it whatsoever. Like, there's nothing to digest. There's nothing to pick apart. There's nothing to critique beyond what we've already said about it, right? Like, we've watched it three times. There's no depth to it in that I haven't noticed things that I didn't already notice on the previous two viewings, right? Like, there's no... I feel like the first movie you could really kind of get down and pick pieces of it apart, and I guess we can do that with this one, but it just feels like there's such a small amount of substance to it that it's not even worthwhile to commentate on, right? Like, I feel a little bit out of my element tonight. I don't know if I'm tired or like this movie has just worn me down or what, but I just can't quite process where I'm at with this film. I think that's very clear. I don't think any of us enjoyed watching it, but I don't know, man. Y'all talk about this fucking movie while I just like stare at the wall for a while. This is just beating me down. I can't even put it into words how exactly I feel about this film at this point. I don't want to watch it again. I'm glad that we only have to watch this one more time. I just Ay. It's a mess. It's really just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you in a lot of ways, because I was thinking about what you're talking about, like, as we were watching it, like, there isn't really, you know, like, as we were going through the original, we were coming up with all, we were pulling these, like, things out of the background or whatever, and canonizing them like they were a supernatural ship or something, you know, and like there just isn't any of that here. Like, I spent most of the movie this week just looking at stuff in the background and trying to find anything, and all I found was like, oh, there's a phone number in the background as like he's meeting the dude outside the ammo store, and oh, there, those two dudes aren't from Texas, they're from like Seattle. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting, that's fun. Like, that's it, that's all I pulled out of it. So like, Rose, I don't know, like, as somebody watching it for the first time again, like,
is there anything, like, just anything at all?
Anything? All right, let me think here. I'm lucky that I learned what QAnon was 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
For the first time. Okay. Because if I had learned about it through Borat, I think something would have happened in my brain that couldn't be fixed anymore. Like, it, like, something would just snap. Like, I would just think, oh, that's a Borat joke, right? And then you'd have to tell me it's real. And then I would be like, oh,
well, like, the interesting thing about QAnon is Q did go in on Borat, like,
oh, he did,
over the summer at some point. Yeah, they basically said something along the lines of, Borat was a New World Order psyop to make people think that Kazakhstan was an impoverished, like, dirt hole in the middle of Asia, as opposed to what it is, which is the actual real seat of power of the New World Order. And also, isn't it weird that the capital of Kazakhstan is right along the Silk Road from Wuhan to Venice, which are the two hottest coronavirus spots at the time of writing, or whatever. Like, it was a whole thing. QAnon really went in on Borat, which is I don't know. Maybe Q found out, you know, maybe they got tipped off that Borat was, you know, talking about
Ben
in a new movie or something, you know. They're deep state sources or whatever, but like, yeah. I mean, I am actually kind of blown away that you managed to go this long without having to know what QAnon was. Like, I wish I was in your shoes.
I don't know, because now I know about it, and I would, like, that's worse, like, all these years hearing about it and then just being like, oh god, that's what it was. Like, I guess it's better than living with that the whole time. You did bring up a point that I did want to think, like, I said this when I first saw the synopsis of the film on Wikipedia, and I said, do they know, like, when they're making this movie, that Kazakhstan is a real place with real people in it? Like, because...
Just in general?
Yeah, because, like, this fake Kazakhstan they have, like, it was pretty bad in the first movie. And then, like, now, they've made it look even worse. Like,
yeah.
How does Kazakhstan, like, feel about this? Like, how do they, like...
They've embraced it at this point. They were pretty pissed off when the first movie came out, very understandably. But now they've made very nice into their tourism slogan.
Oh.
So there's all these ads they released. Like I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast. It was like, I think right before last week's episode.
Yeah.
They released all these tourism videos where very well made. Like someone's walking around in Kazakhstan and they are like, oh, take my picture by these mountains, like this very beautiful mountain range. And they take the picture and they look at it and they go, oh, very nice. And then it's like Kazakhstan, very nice, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it's one of those things like with most people and places involved with these movies where Sacha Baron Cohen just does not give a shit about exploiting them. Like we see with, you know, Azamat getting paid pennies to show his hog on blockbuster theater screens.
Oh my gosh, that's really getting me now also, like, not to interrupt you, but the fact that, like, y'all linked that article about Azamat not getting paid shit and, like, being pressured into, you know, showing his whole region down there and, like, him not even, like, basically being, like, shoved out of Borat.
Yeah.
To here, because
yeah, they did him dirty. They did him.
And they made him like, a chair.
They did. What? They
made
chair.
Him a chair. Yeah. Well,
why even like? Do they hate him that much? That's like what? Like, there's got to be some sort of beef, right?
It's funny. It's comedy. It's comedy that a man. It's comedy that a man is made into sort of a, you know, Texas Chainsaw Ed Gein sort of cheer.
It's just that's so funny. Weird it's to very me because it feels the like thing. They wouldn't even like this movie doesn't have the like the thing that struck me really is that like so early on they referenced Johnny the Monkey and y'all said like oh yeah there's some stuff from the book in here and they retcon it and I was like damn okay but they don't really acknowledge the first movie out. At all outside of the Trump Tower bit at the beginning also.
No, not like, really, yeah.
I was expecting what's her name?
Linnell?
No.
Pamela Anderson?
The woman, Baywatch.
Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson. I was expecting like something, some joke about her or something, or like allusions to something similar, or like references to any of the characters or situations that happened in the first movie, but no, not really at all.
Yeah, I think the Pamela Anderson thing was like one of Ryan's biggest like letdowns the first time we watched
it. I really wanted Pamela Anderson to be in this movie. Like, I don't think it would have gone anywhere. I don't think it would have really meant anything. But sometimes my brain does like it when I see the thing I recognize from another thing, you know?
Sure.
Which is how I feel when he pulls the mesh Catboy underwear out of the suitcase. Really, the only thing that it references is the fact that he, you know, was punished for his crimes and then it reuses the music and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but it does bring up like an interesting thing that like, I think you... maybe both actually mentioned is that like Tutar is like 15 in the movie and like where did she come from in the sort of Borat canon because at the end of that first movie which is 14 years ago and which is actually like filmed in 2005 according to its own like things that it shows like his wife is dead he's married to Linnell who is pregnant. So is Tutar Linnell's child? If so, what happened to Linnell? Was she already born, you know, before his wife died? You know, what's
no
the...
reference to Linnell is
None
really
at
weird
all.
To me. Like,
yeah,
I guess she didn't want to be in the movie or something.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything from her. Like, I haven't seen her.
I thought I saw some article that she was paid despite not being in
Interesting.
It or something like that.
See if I can.
I might have invented that.
My whole thing with this movie is that I think it's very clear that he may have had the idea for this film in the past, but this movie was just really slapped together, right? Like, you can tell that it was made for as cheaply as possible in as little time as possible with as few resources as possible. Like, you can really tell in the last scene when they're at the running of the American and they're really poorly green screened and there's these really bad, like, vomiting effects from one of the American costumes.
It just splatters on.
Yeah, it's like they had, like, a $5 special effects budget in this movie. And so I get the feeling that when I at least sort of posit what I would want from a Borat sequel, I really do think I kind of gave him a little too much credit in terms of that, because it just doesn't seem like he cares at all, right? Like he wrote this script with just the barest minimum amount of connection to make it a sequel, you know, and just said, oh, I want to make this very cutting political commentary about the election. We could slap Borat 2 on this. Like, it could have been any character. It didn't have to be Borat, right? Like that's the thing about this movie. Obviously, there's the narrative of Borat, the character arc of Borat, but when you get down to it, he just could have made Who is America or This is America the movie, and it would have been the exact same thing when you really kind of dig into it. So there's no there's no commentary inherent to the film, like you talked about earlier, Rose, where ostensibly the first one was about him, you know, unmasking prejudice and that kind of thing. Like him being Borat is completely, you know, auxiliary to the point of this movie, or the point that he sort of, I think, professes this movie to have. So I don't know. I'm just sick of it. I'm just tired of it.
Understandable.
I just think that he made this, and I'm getting around to the question I sort of was tackling at the beginning of this, which is that I don't think Linnell is in this because I don't think he cared. Like, I really just don't think he cared at all.
Well, now that's interesting because I actually have the story here, and this comes from Linnell herself on Instagram, according to IndieWire. So she made a post. She didn't, in fact, get paid. And I think what she posted here on Instagram is very interesting because it implies that maybe the movie we see is not what Borat 2 was originally supposed to be.
I think that's possible, yeah.
Oh.
So she posted on Instagram, apparently my husband Borat is giving out money for no reason because your girl did not make the cut in the film. News to me. But I made the cut at the Nank. Last time that I checked, we were married and had two biracial children, but maybe he hooked up with Pamela Anderson. So
interesting.
I guess maybe at some point he saw the way things were going with COVID and saw the way things were going with maybe the election and maybe decided to pivot the story and
sure.
They just never used any of that, like, original stuff with Linnell. He also posted on... Sacha Baron Cohen posted on a Reddit AMA where he was in character as Borat. Somebody asked him why Linnell wasn't in the movie, and he made this post in response, and I'm just going to read this here, and it's fucking terrible. But so what he wrote in character was, I miss her too, I'm sad. When I return from where I was in Gulag for 14 year, I find she have returned to USA because she learned that since McDonald Trump take power, black people are treated like royalty. The police especially are nice to Africans.
God.
They love them so much they follow them in their cars and stop them many times to make chitty chat.
Fuck off.
They even take their name and addresses so they can stay in touch. And they give them shiny bracelets to wear. Some policemen like black people so much they risk COVID by giving them really big hugs as tight as a man's anus around their neck. Why not? They like... So
I'm going to beat this man's ass. I really want to drag him out in the street and just fucking grind him into dust.
It's bad, right? I would love to see the original cut.
Release the Linnell cut. Release the Linnell cut.
Release the Linnell cut. We want
to
see it.
I would. I would actually love to see the original version of this movie.
I would much rather see the Linnell cut, honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
How much worse do you think it would be worse like, I mean, well, there's a lot of layers to worse here.
Do you
I
mean
guess
worse as in more offensive, like more politically incorrect? Because I think probably.
Yes. Worse quality wise, do you think? Do you think it would be. Okay. Do you think it would be better than this that we just watched? Or do you think. And do you think it would be better than Borat 1?
I think it would be better than this. I don't know that it would be better than Borat 1.
Okay.
Because I like. Him being married to Linnell and having kids and all that is exactly what I, someone who has seen the original movie 48 times, that's the kind of fan service I want out of Borat 2.
It is.
Right? Like, that's what I was really hoping for. Like, genuinely.
Yeah, I think the thing that's, like, interesting is when this first got, like, its release date, you know, like a month ago or whatever, there were people in... like film critics or people just around the sort of film scene in Hollywood or whatever that were saying, you know, hey, I've seen this movie like a few months ago. Like, I wonder if they saw the Linnell cut, the original cut, because they made it sound like this was a much wilder, much more outrageous, much more bold endeavor than it turned out to be. So I don't know, maybe...
I bet they think that this current one is crazy.
I think you're just giving them too much credit, Niall. They probably think that filming Giuliani with his hands down his pants is like the most revolutionary image committed to film for the last decade.
Yeah. I mean, I just, now that I know that it exists, I just really need to see Linnell's stuff. I really want to see what they changed. I want to see when they decided to bring Tutar in instead of the two biracial kids that they originally had. Like, I just want to know about it. You know, I need to know about the original Borat too. Like,
When this movie was finishing, it really dawned on me that this is the most, like, they really did prestige Borat sequel. Like, that is exactly what it is. Like, just like how they make prestige games these days where it's like, guess what? He has a daughter and he's learning what feminism is.
Yeah.
Like, they literally just did that. And I think, like, the scripted bits especially just lean all the way into that, just completely unironically, even. Like, they obviously have their little Borat jokes, but they are still trying to be earnest about that in a way that is so... It sucks. It just sucks, really. I'm trying to formulate something about this film, but it's a lot of, like, why, like, what was being accomplished? I think I said that, like, three times while we were watching. I was just like, what's the point? What's the point in what's happening right now? Like, the whole abortion bit, right? Like, with the cupcake. That is, like...
Funny. It's funny.
There was, like, it's funny, you're right. Yeah, it's funny, actually. And the funny thing about it is that it sucks and it goes on forever and it's completely contrived, which is how a lot of the things in this movie feel. Yeah. It feels like the first movie was a lot of him going around and observing people being horrible. And this one was like, I'm going to manufacture the scenario where someone will be horrible.
Yeah, I think that's like a really interesting way of putting it, because you're right, like in that first one he goes to the rodeo and the guy just starts being like racist. He goes to the or he meets up with the frat boys and they're the ones who like immediately start like being sexist and racist and everything, and he's really just like responding
just
to people,
prodding them slightly,
you know, he's somebody is saying something to him and he's just responding and setting up the next thing, but by and large it is people transparently going out there and being like the worst. Whereas in this, you're right. Like, it does feel like he's really laboring to try and set people up to say something really bad or whatever. Like, especially, I think for me, the part where it really does that is where he's with the dudes in Seattle, the like prepper dudes or whatever. Cause you can tell he's like trying to set them up to say things that are like super sexist and racist, and they're just like, what you're saying to us and saying is science, like is wrong or whatever, you know, like it feels like those are moments, and the first one has it as well a couple of times, but like there does feel like there's moments here where he's trying to set somebody up for something and they're just not giving it to him, which I always like to see, because I just like to see how bad he actually is at improv, because he's not very good at it. But
no.
Like,
oh, no.
It really is just like...
Yeah, he's not good at improv. Like, well, all he's good at is, like, shining a light, I guess, barely on things, because the stuff's already out there. Like, this is just how people are all the time. Yeah. Like, this isn't, like, a hidden underbelly of America or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, that's so easy, I think. It's so easy. Like, I think the closest he gets to a Borat 1 style bit, and even then he's still pushing it a long way more than he would have in Borat 1. The where he's singing the song and they're all singing along.
Yeah.
Like, that's very, like, okay, like, got them to do this or whatever. But even that's, like, so, like, just the whole abortion bit was really, really the thing that got me. The woman's thing where she goes up on stage and is like, I jerked off or whatever. Isn't this insane?
Mm-hmm.
Like, very graphically. And these people are just, like, gross. And that's, like, That's it. Like, they didn't even say anything, like, to her that was, like, offensive. They were just like, don't say that in public, which is a pretty normal response.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
it is. Yeah. Like, even as you're talking about it there with the, like, him singing the song at the rally, he did that bit as Borat before on the Ali G show, where he went around to, like, it was like in Texas or Oklahoma or somewhere. He went to some bar and started singing Throw the Jew Down the Well and had like everybody in the bar,
right,
like doing the call and response thing with him. So he's just actually now also recycling bits, which is another thing this movie feels like it does a lot. I feel like is it's kind of recycling bits from the last movie, just kind of slightly changing the scenario, like where he does the debutante ball bit and it's cutting back to the like woman who's like telling him about the ball or whatever. It's the same thing as like the dining society and the etiquette coach from the first movie, except much tamer, at least with the coach, whereas, you know, he does, or she does the bit with the menstrual blood, like as she's dancing, and like that's the shock thing, as opposed to like here's a bag of my shit. But like it is very much a very similar gag aimed at a very similar, like, target, I feel like.
Yeah, and I wonder what, like, the point is, like, because, like, I feel like it's incredibly easy to manufacture a situation where you just inadvertently get all of the people at that ball, for example, to just be insanely racist just right away or something like that, right? Like, or just do something really offensive, or just be freaks in general. Like, he almost gets to it when he talks to that old man and he's like, $500 for your daughter or whatever like that. Like, and he's like, yes, haha. Like,
yeah.
But like, then it's just like, check it out. I'm a gross racist stereotype or whatever. Like, and I'm going to show you period blood. I don't like, what is that? Like, what's being accomplished? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very, very bad. I think we actually missed it this time around, though, the VCR line that drove Ryan up the wall last weekend.
Yeah, we were talking about something from the previous scene, but I can't remember what it was.
So basically when she's being like introduced, Rose, because I feel like you would really hate this line as well. Uh-huh. She's being introduced and the dude is like, she is currently attending like Grand Canyon University, where she's majoring in like fence repair and VCR repair or something, or like electronic engineering with a focus on VCR repair or something.
It's like electronics something with a focus in VCR repair.
It's such a bad fucking joke. Like,
and aren't the names are from like Family Matters or something, right? Or some other sitcom?
She's introduced as Sarah Jessica Parker, and he's introduced as Philip Drummond from Different Strokes.
Yeah, that's what it was. Comedy is when something else is like another thing, you know?
Yeah. I love references. I love when people show me things that are like things I recognize.
I feel like the bit at the beginning when he goes to America at the beginning and he says, Borat, is everyone knows Borat. everyone knows Borat now. I have to go into hiding. I feel like he could have made a plot out of that that would have been way more interesting. Mm-hmm. Or like some sort of aspect of like he has to pull off all his Borat things, but like he has to hide that he's Borat or something like that. Instead, like that's not even a point for the rest of the movie because he's not Borat for most of the movie. He's these random other people, you know, like it's he basically just made an Ali G show movie, yeah. Right? That's like what he did.
Yeah, it really is like an episode of Who Is America featuring Borat, and also it's 90 minutes long and it's bad. Like,
yeah,
it's not a good movie. It's just I can't wait to never have to see it again.
It's a movie that like just absolutely sucks the oxygen out of the room, right? Because even when Rose, I'm sure you can attest to this, but even when we were watching the first film, we could say, oh, you know, it was bad, but I liked this about it, right? Like, oh, it was bad, but oh, the driving instructor scene was funny. Like this movie, there's just nothing. There is no port in the storm of Borat 2. There's no life preserver to hold on to. You start it and you watch it and you finish it and you're just like, well, that was an hour and a half of my life. I have almost nothing positive to say about that.
I feel like the big thing about it is you might have already said this. I have no idea. But it's like Borat 1 is, I think it has some highs. And then it has a lot of lows, and that's sort of the way it works. Like the dining scene, really bad. Even I remember that, and just hearing y'all talk about it every time was just like, oh yeah. And then like, I'm trying to think of what the other bad scene in Borat 1 is.
The frat boys.
There's one. Maybe? I just can't think of the frat boys. Yeah, sure, that's really bad. But then that also has the part with the water bottle that I'll always remember now. Like where he. The water. But like, yeah, like, and then this is just, I don't think there's a single high. There's not one. It's more like a steady nothing as opposed to like a lot more of like lows.
If I asked you to name 5 bits from this movie that we hadn't already talked about, would you be able to do it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that I could name them.
The plastic dress.
There's the synagogue with the two old ladies.
Okay.
Oh yeah, those old women were cool. They were really cool.
Yeah, you were a big like, fan of really... the one lady Doris, who's just like chilling. Like
she's just chilling. Like that is the pose. She is just like. Like that is a cool woman. That is a woman who has lived a life. That's how I got. That's the vibes I got from her. Shouldn't have had to see Borat that day. Yeah.
Oh, what else happens? There's the babysitter bit where she's reading her the.
Oh, the babysitter's great. I did.
Yeah, want she's to the heart that. Of this movie. I feel she, like yeah, she really yeah. is.
She's real the rock. Person. She's the rock of this film.
She is to me like the driving instructor was in the original, like just a normal.
I don't even think
person.
It's as good as that.
No,
really though. Like I really do think the driving instructor when I watched that was so good. It was so good. Like it lived up to the hype from you both talking about it before I came on the show. Like I was just like, oh man,
yeah.
He'll be your boyfriend. Like he'll be Borat's boyfriend. Your boyfriend. Like,
yeah.
No one was like that for Borat in this film.
He won't be thrilled about it, but he'll do it.
Yeah. He'll do it. Yeah. Why not? But he'll go to prison too.
He'll go to prison.
Like what? There's nothing like you can pull like that out of this movie. Like there's no like weird lines like him saying I'll go to prison and you'll go to prison.
My favorite line in this is when they're in the car, the babysitter and Tutar are in the car and they're outside the plastic surgeon and Tutar is talking about how her fake boobs will keep her from having to learn how to swim and the babysitter says something to the effect of How are they going to protect you? Their titties. And I think that's like, I think that's like the best, that was really probably good. The best line in this whole movie.
Yeah, just the like way she says it, like she is done. Like she's like,
yeah, it's good. Everything else is pretty dire. I mean, I laughed again at the part where they're in the plastic surgeon and they say titties back and forth like 8 times because it's so stupid. But that's really it. Like there's nothing in this film that brought me joy in noticing this time. And maybe that's just because we're so far down the line with this bullshit and we're just almost done, you know? So I am just kind of ready to be rid of it. But it wasn't like when we watched Borat the first few times and I kept noticing stuff and I was like, oh, wow, there's this thing here that is kind of cool. Or, oh, isn't that funny in the background? Like, there's just, I know I've said this week already, but there's just nothing. There's just nothing to latch on to at all.
Yeah, I was really trying to think of another bit, and I couldn't. I could not.
There is the bit where he cuts the man's hair very slowly.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, that was I was waiting for him to do something stupid, but when that was it, I was just like, okay. I guess then he shined his dick or whatever.
Yeah.
Which brings me a great another point. I really think most of the people in this film are actors. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, the more I watch it, the more I'm convinced that a lot of these people were in on it.
That guy was totally an actor. Yeah. Who was getting his hair cut, I am convinced, just based on how he was, just the way he reacted to things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think the guy in the bathroom when Tutar has the little baby come out or whatever is also an actor. I am very suspicious about why they cover certain people's faces in certain scenes, but not other people. Makes me wonder if there's just a lot of plants or something.
I think the real when he's at the Nazi rally or whatever, and the guy straight up gives the Sieg Heil salute or whatever, that guy's face is blurred. But you're then in the same scene, you're getting close up shots of people singing along, and you're hearing these people sing along with him. So it's a very strange difference between those two people. You would think. You're also going to show the guy giving a Nazi salute unless he specifically was I will not sign my name or whatever. But also then you're kind of at a public place, right? I think you can be filmed in a public place.
Yeah.
At a public event or whatever, I think. I'm not sure of the legalities, but maybe the guy giving the salute is an actor and they were like, hey, we want you to do this, but don't worry, nobody's going to see that it's you or whatever. I don't know. It's strange.
It's just who was the other one that I thought was an actor?
There was when she's quote unquote birthing the baby. There's another guy that walks in the bathroom.
Yeah, that guy. But there's another, the woman that you both pointed out, that you think is the yard sale woman. I think just based on how much they focus on her. And based on your theory that I totally believe is true, because if anyone would recognize a Borat character, it would be you too. It really makes me wonder if they just if she's always been a plant, right? Mm-hmm. If she's always been,
she would have to be in the first movie, because in that first movie, it's her yard sale or whatever that he finds the magazine in. So I feel if anybody in that first movie is a plant, she's a very good pick to be, just because she needs to be there to give him the thing that spurs him on to California, you know, so.
Yeah, and it's just in that specific scene where she is reacting, it is so, they keep going back to her out of all of the people in the room, and her expressions are always just over the top, oh my god, compared to everyone else who's just sort of cringing, basically.
She does really feel like she's acting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder. Borat 2 is an inside job, just the whole thing. They even got the 9/11 man, as I said. The Rudy Giuliani. I really, like I said in the movie, they really, it doesn't have a thread, it doesn't have a good sense of place, like you said, Niall. Like, you have no idea where this movie is. You just found out it's in Washington at a certain point in it. Compared to the first movie where you pretty much know where he is at all times.
Yeah, at least in the first movie they give you, like, even if it's not entirely accurate to where he really is, they at least give you a map so you know where he's supposed to be, but here it's just like he's all over the place. Like, there's no real justification for how he gets from Galveston, Texas to Seattle, Washington, like, when it doesn't feel like he's moving. Yeah, he also goes to, like, North or South Carolina, one of the Carolinas at one point. Like, it's all over the place, and I think it really does just feel like maybe you shouldn't. You're supposed to watch this movie once, no. Much like the original. You're not supposed to care where, like, he is, I guess. Because it's not a road trip movie like the first one was, you know?
Yeah. So. It kind of is, though, right? Because they have their goal. They set goals, but then, like, it feels like they just get so distracted from the goals.
Yeah.
To make, like, an epic zinger instead. Like,
it's a road trip movie, but it's just very ill-defined.
Yeah. It's such a it's a weird movie. It's just weird. Like, it's definitely the case where you, obviously, after Borat, you go, well, there can't be a Borat 2. Everyone's in on the joke or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why they waited this long, probably. And then, like, it's just like, yeah, you were right. There couldn't be a Borat 2. Like, I don't...
There shouldn't have been, at least.
It's like a weird reanimated corpse. Kind of, like, in a way. Like, it's just like... Like a Twilight Zone episode where they have aliens reenacting a sitcom or something like that. That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's a zombie. It's shuffling around. Its soul has left its body 14 years ago, and it's just kind of going through the motions, basically, at this point. Yeah, it's sad.
It's grim.
I can't believe they let Kazakhstan's fine with them ending the movie by saying Kazakhstan invented the coronavirus.
Well,
like,
I guess their thoughts on it are, well, the first one really increased tourism. We could sure use that after the coronavirus, so, you know.
Like, just the flippant way that they talk about this as if it's not a real plague killing people is just so, like, weird. Like, I guess there are politics around it, right? But it's still, like, at its core, like, a plague. Right?
Sure.
Like, it's just very weird to see them treat it like it's just another, like, funny Trump thing or something like that, and not, like, a universally affecting thing.
Yeah, I think the way they really have him going around the world and sneezing on Tom Hanks in Australia, or, like, coughing on people in Wuhan is, like... Oh, okay, sure, this sucks, but, like, it's also exactly what I would expect from Sacha Baron Cohen, so...
Yeah. I don't think anything actually got a laugh out of me as much as the green screen at the very, very end, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, because just, it really did look so bad when it's cutting away from them and the bad vomit effects happening.
Yeah.
You said they couldn't resist doing the running again, and you're right, because it's very clear in that scene that they couldn't resist, even though they should have, because they didn't have the, like, ability to do it again, basically, right? Like, because the green screen on Borat and Tutar is some of the worst I've ever seen in my life, probably.
It's bad. It's really, really
and
bad.
And the CGI snot that the Karen is, like, sneezing onto the dead Dr. Fauci is just... It looks like somebody is just, like, MS-painted green on the Fauci. It's really bad. And, I mean, you know, obviously COVID is going to make it difficult to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like... I don't know. I really do feel like this movie would potentially have been better if you had just, instead of trying to make it a please go vote the orange man out of office movie, you just were like, let's wait a year and then finish it and then just, like, make this movie, you know? Like, I feel like it probably would have been better off, but maybe we'll get Borat 3.
I can't believe that we don't like Borat 2 because it's too political, Niall.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying maybe they should have, like, waited until they could make the movie properly and still done the political stuff, you know?
I feel like it being an Amazon Prime funded endeavor or whatever, well, that tells me
it wasn't actually. They
they funded it.
Yeah,
themselves.
They made it. Yeah. They made it themselves. Then sold it like basically just a couple weeks before it came out. Like about a month or so before it came out to Amazon.
Yeah.
So how can I know that? There's basically a monopoly on movie studios right now, so it's not like you'd have a good path anywhere or anything like that. But how can SBC sit there and do all these things, make all these comments on stuff like Facebook and all this other stuff, and then be like, hey, Amazon,
take
my thing? Yeah, like
it definitely, like, It's hard. It's one of those things that's very hard for him to justify. I think if you really pushed him on it, he would probably really struggle to give you a decent answer on it, because it does make him look kind of like a hypocrite in a lot of ways, that he's constantly railing against, like, big tech or whatever and misinformation and everything, and then he's out there taking money from Jeff Bezos. It really sucks. It really sucks. Like everything else.
It really
about this.
Sucks.
Oh god.
Y'all saw the Borat float, right?
Yeah, the one in Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just making sure. That's all I can think of every time I think of Borat.
Yeah, he's fucking lucky I don't live there anymore. I'd have been standing there throwing rocks at it all day.
Every day. Yeah,
like screaming at a giant inflatable Borat.
Could you
Borat.
Imagine if they knew where one of you lived and they just parked, like, that's their response to knowing that your podcast exists, is they park the Borat float outside your house or something.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't do anything in Austin for it, right? Because that's a big market for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like Toronto seems like a really weird place for them to have done that, to be honest. But,
yeah.
It's the only place that would.
I wanted to go American Sniper on the Borat float, like, just to take it out.
I would have been so mad if I woke up one day and found that there was a giant Borat.
Look out the window, just with his face.
Because I feel like I would have had a similar reaction to when Ryan first found the book in, like, just a, like, half-price bookstore or whatever, where I would have just fallen to my knees and just, like, lost it.
So how are we feeling? Watch number three for you and I, Niall. Rose, I guess, you know, we ask this about everyone. Would you watch this movie again?
I don't know. This time, I said yes the first time when we watched Borat 1. I was like, yeah, sure, I could watch Borat 1. I don't know about Borat 2. Yeah. I feel like if you're already feeling, you're feeling worse this time, I feel like I would be worse, because I wasn't even remotely positive on it at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
So there would be nothing to lose. There would just be...
just kind of miserable, huh? Like, vibes... The vibes on this movie are real rancid, I gotta say. I'm not feeling it much this week. Maybe next week we can rally and have ourselves a real real humdinger of a time in our last Borat viewing. But I'm just like, I know I've said in the past on this podcast that I'm sick of his shit. That may have been a little bit performative, because I feel like I am finally actually genuinely sick of this man's shit.
You didn't know how bad it was.
I'm just so ready to just never think about this dude ever again. He contributes nothing to the cultural consciousness. His movies are bad. His comedy is bad. It just... I just know he's going to keep bubbling up, right, for the next few years.
He is.
And I just... I'm just sick of it, y'all. I'm just so tired.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with him as well at this point. I think the thing I really realized this watch and last week is, you know, like, Ryan and I have known both you and Scott for a long time, and, you know, we're friends, and we, like, hang out and talk, and we have good times and everything. Watching Borat 2 is a miserable time. Like, it's not even fun watching it with friends. Like, I feel like Ryan and I had, like, that first watch we did where we were doing the commentary, because of the nature of how we had to do it and approach it,
right,
it was, like, tolerable, and it wasn't, like, miserable, but, like, having to watch this, even with friends now, is just like,
it's a slog. God,
it's a slog. It's tough. It's not what I would like to be doing when I'm spending time with my friends, but, you know.
Well, I keep saying, I'm glad you'll be free. I really am. I've been waiting for you both to be free from Borat 1 before this was even announced. I was like, wow, they're going to have this great piece of history, like a great, they've contributed so much to like the world just by examining this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And like, they're going to get their hero's rest after that or whatever. And then they announced this and I was like, oh God, well, maybe it'll freshen things up. And it seems to have done the opposite, if anything.
Yeah. It really just has me like, oh my God, I can't wait for this to be over.
I literally said while we were watching this that I would rather be watching Bruno. Like, that's how dire this has become.
Yeah, it's tough. Man. But we do only have one more watch. And God, can't come soon enough. all right. Rose, if you don't have anything else, you know, I think we pretty much could wrap things up there, I feel like.
I don't know what else I could say about Borat.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I think we've said about all we can say, really.
We've said more than enough about Borat 2, probably.
Yeah, probably. Thank you so much for coming on again. And
no problem.
And subjecting yourself to whatever the fuck this movie is. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Oh yeah, no, I was happy to be here. I hope I helped a little bit from your whatever hell you would have had alone. Perhaps that I.
Yeah, I'm really glad it's not just the two of us watching these like subsequent viewings. Or yeah. I think we'd both be much worse off. But yeah, Rose, you do some stuff on the internet. Where can people find you?
Oh, yeah, you can find my journalism stuff over at videogamechuchu.com. And my Twitter is @horngal. You can find me there. I'm doing Twitch streams over at twitch.tv/currydraco. It's some VTuber stuff if you're into that. I'm not leaning too hard into the VTuber stuff. I'm just doing that and then playing video games.
Sure, so yeah.
There's no, like, bits or anything. Sure. But.
All right, cool. And Ryan, you do stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on Twitter if you want to follow me @CurseGoat. I do the podcast Emojidrome with Sylvia from Friends at the Table. You can find that on your podcast apps, your catchers, your houses, your podcast house, whatever that is. I guess it's sort of like a TikTok house, but for podcasters. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh God, that's a fucking
2025. Whoa. I buy a house out in the American desert, and I start. I buy a house out in the American desert, and I start the world's first podcasting house. I'm sure that exists already.
That I'm sure that exists. Yeah, I'm sure that it does.
Oh, I want to read the story about that. I really do. I really do.
Well,
an hour long video.
I don't know, that's about it for me. Niall, what are you up to?
Yeah, like Rose mentioned, I also work at videogamechuchu.com, so there's plenty of video and podcasts and articles and stuff up there. We have a show Twitter. I do not have a personal one, but our show Twitter is @BoratClub. You can also contact us via email @BoratClubcast@gmail.com. We always love to hear people's thoughts on Borat, so do share those with us. We love to hear it. We also do appreciate when people send us links to Borat stuff in the news, because I'm so depressed over Borat. War at that I haven't really been actively looking up what SBC's up to.
Who cares?
But yeah, who cares? If you enjoy the show, please leave us a like, a rating, a review, wherever you get your podcasts. Please tell a friend. You know, we don't advertise. We're not part of a network. So the only way this really spreads is by reviews and word of mouth and everything like that. So we really do appreciate it. Until next week and our final ever viewing of Borat 2, the end of the 52 weeks of hell. Rose, thank you again so much for being on.
No problem.
Ryan, thank you as always for joining me on this horrible struggle.
Thank you. Thank you both.
And until next week, we'll see you soon. Take care. Have a good one.